tonight. And Lord, you are wonderful. There's no doubt about that. You've given us a wonderful place to assemble together and help us never to take it for granted. Father, I pray tonight that you might remove any pride that might be in any of us, that we might be humble before you in all humility, walk the way you want us to walk and talk. Lord, that we might search ourselves, that there be no sin, we'll not be practicing sin in our life. And Father, I pray that we might walk close to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, there's needs here. I think of this Heather Hunley. Now, she's asking a prayer for Jean Caldwell Miller. Lord, I pray that you might guide the doctors as she has her surgery tomorrow. Thank you for all those who listen on live stream, those who are shut in that listen, who are unable to be here. Thank you for them. Supply their needs, encourage their hearts. Thank you for what you're doing with our sick folk. Thank you for what your healing hand, for your guiding hand, for your providing hand. Yes, thank you so much for it all. Now, Lord, help us tonight as we preach. May the Word of God go forth freely. May it lodge in our hearts. And, Lord, may we see some things this evening. And we're going to thank you and praise you for it all. May you get all glory. And we ask again for power, a special touch of the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Many things have been on our mind and our heart. We've tried to pray to find leadership of the Lord and guide us for what He wants us to do as a church. And I want to repent. I want to apologize. The past year and a half, at least, my health has had me down mentally and physically. But I feel stronger, and I feel a second wind coming on. And I want to do more for the Lord than I've ever done. If it's just for a little while, I don't care. But I got more than zeal. I got a little bit of strength, and I want to use it for the Lord. So for anything I've let you down on, I apologize, and I'm sorry for not being the kind of pastor that I need to be for you. I want you to know that. I'm going to do my best to do better. All right, I've got some goals. I've got some things I want to see, vision for the church still. And I'm not going to try to maintain. All right, we're going to grow. We're going to move out. And I'm not trying just to maintain things. Everybody understand that? We're not, although there's always maintenance to be done. All right, we know that. But that's not what we're not just going to try to stay even keeled above water. All right. So I want to be challenging you. Now I'm going to give you some thoughts. Some things might be very pointed, might be a little hard sayings, but that's just the way it is. That's part of it. But there'll be plenty of grace, in between. But we're a church, we're a body, we're supposed to be a family. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And we're supposed to have that. The words of that song, I hope, in the next 4 weeks will mean more to you than maybe it does tonight. There is no perfect church. All right, there is no perfect church because it's made up of imperfect people. All right, but there are some standards laid out in the Word of God that we ought to strive to be, or we ought to, once we see it, then it ought to be our desire to be what the Word of God says. All right. Now, I'm preaching to Mountain State Baptist Church. I'm not preaching to any other church. I don't want to seem, this is just the way I say it. I do care, but I don't care. I do care about others, but I don't care what other churches are doing. I don't care what other countries are doing. I don't care what other cities are doing. I'm going to preach to us of what we ought to be doing. And if we're doing it wrong, we need to quit it. And if we ain't doing it, we need to doing it right, we need to start it. And if we are doing it right, we need to keep on doing it. All right, so I want us to understand that. Now, everybody is involved. All right. Now, we're going to preach from 1 Thessalonians, but I want you to all turn, and I want you to mark this in your Bible. And I would ask you to read this every day. All right. In fact, not just for the next 4 weeks, I'd just like for you to read it every day till Jesus comes. Okay. All right. Now, this will be good for husband and wife. This will be good for parents and children. This will be good for children and parents, and it'll be good for every church member, everybody that attends church. It'll be good for all of us. Psalms 119, verse 165. Psalms 119, verse 165. Now, this is a non-negotiable verse. This is a non-negotiable verse. All right? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The greatest verse for the church that's ever been written, I believe, is Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now that's good for the home, that's good for the job, that's good for the church, that's good for you in your heart, and you ought to read it every day. Alright? And sooner or later we'll practice it. Alright. So just think about that. Now, when we look at the church, and when we think about the church, now just hold your hand there in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to read a couple of scriptures before we get there. But when we think about the church, now we can think about the whole body of Christ, and that would include every believer from Calvary until the rapture in every country. Or we can take it as the local church, which is this body of assembled believers right here. All right? But I want you to know that the church is important to the Lord. Now, the local church is established by God. It's established by His Word under His direction, the local church, this assembly of believers. But the church itself, the body of Christ, is so vitally important. Now, if you look in Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, and let's see, verse 28. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." All right, so just go ahead and tell you now, you need to get where this church started. The body of Christ, the church didn't start before Calvary. Just go ahead and tell you that now. All right? Just go ahead and tell you that because it was purchased with his blood, so it didn't start before Calvary. All right? So that way we can all be on the same page. All right? Now, and also turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse... let's just start at verse 17. "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he," speaking of Christ, "and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." The church, Christ is to have the preeminence in the church. He purchased it with his blood, so he's the owner. And he's to have the preeminence, he's the head. And I'll just go ahead and tell you there, you can't have a church till you had a resurrected Savior. So there's no church before Calvary or the empty tomb. Just go ahead and let you know that. There's no church there. And if you want another verse, just to go ahead and go along with that, turn to Ephesians chapter, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll look at verses 19. Start at verse 19. Everybody still with me? "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles." Well, you can't be an apostle till you've seen the resurrected Christ. So there's no foundation even of the church until after Christ arose. Just go ahead and tell you. All right, "and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." What I want you to see is that Christ is the center. He's the head. He's the head of the church. The resurrected Christ is the head of the church. He owns it. He bought it with his blood. He's the head. All right. So he is the authority. And then verse 21 says there, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I want you to understand that the church is important to God.
Yes.
We're important to we're important to God. No, I don't need no water. We're important to God. You're important to God. We're important to God. This assembly is important to God. This assembly, this place right here, has a purpose. All right? Now, this church is not a split. There's a lot of bastard works out there. There's a lot of bastard works out there where people got their feelings hurt and went and started the church to suit yourself. But that ain't what this is. This is a church plant from Victory Baptist Church in Beckley. A church plant. All right? A New Testament church. Now, a lot of these churches that don't do much and don't have much because they're bastard works, and they ought to repent and go back where they come from to the church they pulled out of and get right with God and walk the way they ought to walk. Everybody understand that? All right? Now, that's the way it ought to be. Okay? And that's not popular because there's a lot of people pastoring them, but they're dead and Ichabod's on the door and the Lord ain't there, and that's just the way it is.
Amen.
Okay? I told you there'll be some pointed things said. It might not be popular. But that's the way it is. When I look through the Word of God, I find that churches that are not perfect, and there's no church perfect. Corinth was a good church, all right, but it was carnal. Two letters wrote to it. You read about Corinth, it was a carnal church. Well, you know, that's like saying there's a heavenly devil. You know that? Satan originated in heaven, so that makes him a heavenly devil. Well, that's, y'all understand what I'm saying. When a church is brag, is that we're carnal, that's not a good brag. So Corinth had its problems. We okay with that? Corinth had its problems. Now Ephesus, if you read about Ephesus, when you get over in Revelations, the church there at Ephesus, it was a great church. It was so busy, it forgot the Lord. So we need to beware and let Corinth be our example that we're not carnal. But then we need to be aware and pay attention to the church of Ephesus that we're not so busy that we're commended for all of our works, and then it says we've left our first love. Okay? So there's examples in the Word of God. Everybody still with me? Now, the church of Philippi was a great church, a giving church. Helped Paul, but it had women problems. It had some women that couldn't get along. That's what Philippians chapter 4 says. That it wrote their names down, and it's forever written in the Word of God that there's two women that couldn't get along in the church. It's forever written there. Well, that's not good. Right? Think about that. So we take that example and say, well, we don't want to do that, correct? We don't want to be that kind of church. I don't want to be known as a carnal church. I don't want to be known as a church that's so busy for the Lord that I forget the Lord. Huh? I don't want to be a church that where it's written down for everyone to read for eternity that there's some people who can't get along there. That's not a good testimony. You know? The church of Galatia, the churches there in Galatia, they were good churches. They were started good churches, but they had a doctrinal problem. Think about that. I don't want that testimony that, man, they got a bad doctrinal problem. You know, the church of Galatia wanted to go back under Judaism and the law, and frustrated the grace of God. Okay? See, there's all kinds of churches. Everybody's following me. Just build a little foundation here. Is everybody with me? Now think about that. And then the church of Colossae. The church of Colossae was a good church. But they had a little trouble with superstition and mysticism and a little tradition. Had a little problem. You go read about it. We okay? Well, we all know what that is. We've all been in it. little bit of mysticism, yeah, a little bit of spooky stuff maybe, and a little bit of tradition. Huh? Y'all wouldn't know anything about little tradition in churches, but huh? We all know a little bit about traditions, you know, we won't go there. But nevertheless, just had a little bit of problem, a little superstition, you know, little misquotation sometimes, you know, every tub ought to sit on its own bottom, and you know, grin and bear it, you know, all these little favorite verses we have, grin and bear it, huh? Right? I'll never forget Alvy Blankenship telling that. Woman stood up and wanted to quote her favorite verse. They said, okay, go ahead. She said, grin and bear it. Huh? That's what she'd always been told. Huh? It was in the Bible. She never read it, but it sounded good. Alright? I'm just wanting you to know that them are not the examples. Now, there's great things in all of them churches. There's great things in the churches of Galatia and Philippi and Ephesus and all the things. But there's one church in the epistles that is laid out that is our example. And that's the church of Thessalonica. The church of Thessalonica is a example New Testament church that if Mount State Baptist Church can do anything, if we have a goal, if we have an example, if we have something that we ought to pattern ourselves by, it's the church at Thessalonica. Now, it was not perfect, but it has some great things, and there was nothing bad said to them by the Apostle Paul. We okay? Now, there's some things that maybe we need to get straight, maybe, or maybe we just need to confirm, or like John wrote in the Revelations, what the Lord said, you know, strengthen the things that remain. Right? We need to strengthen some things that remain here in the church. And I just go ahead and tell you where my stand's at. So I want to reconfirm my stand. All right, as the pastor of this church, I want to reconfirm my stand so you'll know what's in we're in store for as long as I'm here, okay? Is everybody still with me? All right? I won't be a part. I won't be a part of a church. I won't be a part of it, okay? I won't be any part of it if it's not King James only with the Bible. For English-speaking people, I just won't have no part of it. I won't allow it. I won't put up with it. I won't discuss it. We're not having arguments about it. It's just the way it is. I'm not going to be a part of anything other than a King James only Bible in the church. All right, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to be a part of a church where everybody's not welcome. Alright, everybody is welcome. I don't care what color, what creed, what financial status, where they stink, it don't matter. I won't be a part of a church where everyone's not welcome. I don't care if they're foreigners, I don't care what their past is, that everybody is welcome in the house of God. I just won't be a part of nothing that's not like that, okay? I'm not going to be a part of a church where there's not people saved and baptized at least fairly often. If a church ain't seeing people saved and baptized, then you don't need me as your pastor. When we cease to see people saved and baptized and following the Lord, then y'all ought to have a meeting, men. Take me off to the side and tell me to hit the road, Jack, and don't come back and find you a preacher. Okay? Now that's where my stand is. I want everybody to understand where my stand's at. I won't be a part of a church that ain't not willing to grow, don't have a vision to grow, and see people come to Christ. I won't be a part of a church that don't try to reach the lost. I won't be a part of a church like that. I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to be a part of a church that don't take time for the children. that we don't have a place for the children, that the children are not thrown off in a corner, but they'll have a ministry and they'll have a work in the church and be used of God. I won't have a part in the church that does not do that. I'm not going to have a part of a church that is not mission minded, if you would, and willing to support missions and see the lost come to Christ in other places, just not here. But I will not be a part of a church that only focuses on missions and let their neighbor go to hell. All right, I'm not going to do that either. We got to keep all this together. I want everybody to understand. Does everybody hear me tonight? Now, I'm not trying to be prideful. I'm just telling you these are some things that I'm standing on, and this is what I am. This is what I preach. This is what I stand on. This is what I believe, and this is what I believe to be a New Testament stand for the church of the living God.
Amen.
That's what I believe. All right? And there's no give. In any of these things I said, there's no give. There's not a thousandth of an inch give.
Right.
There may be a lateral move, but there won't be one backward.
Amen.
All right? I just want to make sure everybody understands that. Okay? Now, this is not said pridefully. This is not said in a dictator attitude, but I'm not going to be a part of a church where the pastor's not the leader.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm not a dictator, and we'll always meet, and the men will always gather, and we'll always decide the course of the church. Okay? But who preaches behind this pulpit, what goes on behind here, is my call.
Amen. Amen.
It's my call.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, it's not being mean, or I just want you to know where I stand at. And if that ever diminishes, then I just won't be a part of a church like that. All right? You understand? I'm not going to be part of a church where sin's accepted and overlooked and counted as a lifestyle or modern. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to be a part of that. Okay? So now, the reason I'm saying this is because I'm not going to preach to the church and not tell you where the pastor stands.
Right.
I'm not going to expect you to stand a certain way if you don't know where I stand. Okay? And this is, I'm not, if I come across wrong, I'm sorry, because I'm not trying to do that at all. All right, I'm just wanting you to know this is where Mark Sechrist stands. Okay? I can't speak for no one else but Mark Dwayne Sechrist. Right here. All right? And I'm not doing that pridefully. I'm doing that because conviction of God in my heart. Okay? Now, I'm not going to be part of a dead church. Huh? We'll bury it, but I'm not going to stand in it. Huh? I won't be a part of it. So in saying all that, all right, and that was a mouthful, but in saying all that, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now I'm going to preach out of them 10 verses here, and I won't keep you long, but I'm going to preach out just them 10 verses to show you what I believe is a great example of a New Testament church, the example that Mountain State Baptist Church needs to follow. Now, to show you that Thessalonica, the church there, was a pretty good church, and Paul's not writing them to scold them. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look here at a couple of verses right quick, and I'll show you just what it means here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 9 and 10. It says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." Keep doing it more and more, but I just want you to know, I can't write nothing to you bad because you're loving the brethren. That's pretty good commendation from the Apostle Paul. I can't get on you for this, boys. Y'all doing good. Y'all loving one another just like you're supposed to. Just keep getting it.
Yeah, right.
See, so that's a good example. So I believe that's a good example for us, that we love one another.
Yes.
Huh? "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write." I hope that when everything's said and done, that we don't have to be admonished from the Lord that we ain't loving one another like we should be. Because it says, "And indeed you do it." I love that part in verse 10. "And indeed you do it." Huh? "And indeed, love one another. And indeed you do it." You're doing it. You're doing it. So I'm going to encourage you tonight to do it and to keep doing it. All right? But then if we look back at chapter 1, look at this other commendation here in verse 8. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." We don't need to tell you anything about it. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're spreading the word. You're getting the gospel out. You're telling everybody about Jesus. That's good. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Them are pretty good pats on the back from the Apostle Paul to the church of Thessalonica. Can y'all agree to that? Can y'all see that? So I'm going to take that as an example that maybe this is what we ought to be. So let's look tonight at give you just a few things. Everybody okay with me tonight? All right, let's look at verse 1 again. It says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ." Huh? The first thing that Mountain State Baptist Church needs to make sure that we are, huh, is to be a soundly converted church.
Amen.
A soundly converted church. Because that's what it says here in verse 1. That the church of the Thessalonians, they were in God the Father, and they were in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." They were in God. They were in Christ. They were converted. What Mountain State Baptist Church needs to examine themselves and make sure that the membership of this church is a saved church membership.
Amen.
Hmm? First should be the first requirement.
Yes.
That we need to be saved. Soundly converted. Soundly converted. Sound means solid. Huh? Soundly converted. Are you saved tonight?
Yes.
I mean, are you truly saved?
Yes.
Not while I was baptized. Well, I prayed a prayer, but I don't know nothing about it. Are you saved? Has there been a change take place in your life where you've passed from death into life? Has there been a time that change took place and that you have fell in love with Jesus Christ? That He made you a new creature and you are not practicing sin? Because the Bible says in 1 John that if you practice sin, it teaches that. If you're practicing sin, you ain't saved. Now, I didn't say if you sin, I'm saying if you're practicing, if that's what you're doing is practicing it. continually in it, continually doing the same thing over and over and over, you better look and see if you're saved or not. Okay? Mountain State Baptist Church needs to be soundly converted. Now, let me go ahead and let you in on something. There won't be murmurings and disputings in a converted church membership. Read your Bibles. There won't be murmuring and dissensions and all them things, disputings, in a saved church membership. All right? You say, well, you tell me I'm not saved. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, you need to make sure you are saved. That's all I'm saying. Does everybody understand that? I'm just saying the example of the Thessalonians was that they were soundly converted. Huh? They were in God the Father. They were in the Lord Jesus Christ. They gathered towards. You understand tonight that when we gather, we are supposed to gather as one body to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the purpose of our gathering? Do we know that? I mean, that's why I preached there, was it last Sunday, the Sunday or two ago, that I was glad when they said it to me, let us go in the house of the Lord, because we're coming to worship corporately as a one body in a local church, because we're in God and we're in Christ, and we ought to be wanting and desiring to come and worship.
Amen.
So we gather to worship, now listen, and then we scatter to witness. We gather to worship. We scatter to witness to the lost. When you leave here, you ought to be so full from the presence of God and the worship of God that you tell everybody you see. And then when you roll in here on Wednesday, that you've come into worship and you get full. And then, but till Sunday, you tell everybody you see. Until you get back on Sunday and you get full. And then you go tell everybody that you see. Huh? Because we're a saved, soundly saved, soundly converted church. Huh? We okay? Soundly converted. Now let's look at verse 2 and 3. It says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So the first example I see with the Thessalonians here, the church there at Thessalonica, was that they were soundly converted. Can you all see that? Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
How about verse 2 and 3? They were strongly committed. They were soundly converted, and then they were strongly committed. Now you ought to write that down beside your in your Bible there so you can see our example and what we ought to be. We okay? Strongly committed to the work of God. Huh? To the will of God. We okay? Paul said, I'm giving thanks to God always. I'm praying for you, making mention of you always in my prayer, remembering without ceasing. I'm praying because y'all's work, because your work of faith, you're working. You're working. Your work of faith, your labor of love. Huh? We okay about labor of love? Huh? Now, we all get tired, right? But we ought to be tired in the work, not of the work.
Amen.
It's all right to get tired in the work. If you work camp, you was tired in the work.
Amen.
I don't care what anybody says. It's hard to work camp with no sleep. It's hard. It's hard. And every day, these counselors, these cabin counselors, they stayed up at night witnessing. They stayed up at night praying. They'd get up and make sure. Listen to me. Did y'all know that boys are not the dirtiest people in the world, that girls are? Did y'all know that? Did you know there were girls? I had a counselor come to me and says, I've got girls that won't bathe. And I said, will you tell them if they don't bathe, then somebody's going to bathe them. Right? These women, y'all had to put up with that. I'm are you? I do. Then you run all day long. I mean, you run. Y'all run. Some of y'all were too old to run. Huh? Greg outrun two side-by-sides in a car to find an inhaler for one of the kids. He did. He outrun two side-by-sides in a car, did he not? Huh? Of course, he laid on a picnic table and hollered for help after he'd done it all. But, huh? But they were tired. They were wore out. You talk to people and they look at you and they got to really think before they can answer. Because they're tired. But after camp was over, they said, well, you know, how are we going to do this next year? And they're already planning on doing it again. See, being tired in the work is okay. But if we ever get where we're tired of the work, if we ever get to where our Sunday school class is a burden, or singing a song is a burden, or preaching a message is a burden, or coming to the house of God is a burden, then we better check up and see there's something wrong in our heart. Huh? Tired in the work, but not of the work. A labor of love. For who? Listen, I come here, I do love you. I hope you know that. I do love all of y'all. There's not a person that's ever attended, that's attending, or ever will attend that I don't love. I do. I love you. And now there's sometimes I do want to be homicidal. I do. I'll admit that to you. There's sometimes, maybe some of you's got on my last nerve. That's probably true. Okay? But I love you, and I love your families. I do. Now listen to me. Listen to me now. Huh? But when I get to where I can't come to church because of my love for you, there's a problem. And my labor of love, though I love you, I don't preach just because I love you. I love Him. And my labor of love goes beyond you and your family. But my labor of love is attached to the one who left heaven's glory and died for me. That's why. Some of you said, you know, you ought to take a break. You've had strokes and heart attacks. He's given me strength. And I do it because I love Him. I don't do it to make a name or to be proud. Listen, He deserves my all. Huh? If I'm able to push a lawnmower, get on a ride mower, I'm not going to lay out from preaching. Huh? I'm just not going to do it. If I'm able to tie my own shoes or dress myself, then I'm not going to sit at the house. I'm not. Now, everybody else do what they want to. I'm just telling you, I'm not. I don't count it a drudgery. Huh? And I'm just wanting you to know we need to be not just soundly converted, but strongly committed, dedicated, wholehearted. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we're created a workmanship that is created in us to do good works. Is that not right? Everybody that's saved ought to be working. Everybody. Now let me say, everybody that's saved ought to be working in the local church doing something.
Yes, sir.
You ought to be. But can I tell you what's in the normal church? It's like going to a restaurant. We go to a restaurant, we order what we want, and if the service is not like we like, if the food is not up to par, then we give it a bad recommendation. And that's the way we do our church a lot of times. We come in, if we're not served just right and the food ain't just right, then we talk about it. Huh? We okay? And then we, instead of coming to church to please the Lord and to find our purpose, then we start finding fault. Then we go down the road and find another one. We don't go back to that restaurant no more. But when we all work, when we're all doing it, do you know there's less said? Huh? When we're all laboring and we're all in the work together, then we're not near as critical. Huh? Everybody get that? I'm just telling you, the church of the Thessalonians were strongly committed because of their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Is that okay? Now let's go on. How about 4 and 5? Verse 4 and 5. Everybody still with me? Knowing, brethren, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, that's got nothing to do with predestined to go to heaven or hell. Anywhere you see election of God, don't get scared of it, because you're not born to go to heaven or hell. It's still whosoever will, let him come. All right, we're not Calvinists, we're Baptists. We're not hyper-Calvinists, we're Baptists. We're Bible believers. And you're predestined. It is God's purpose. It is God's will. Be founded before the foundation of the world, laid out that you will be conformed into His image. That is sure.
Yeah.
Okay? But we're not in this predestination, Calvinism, trash.
Right.
And it's trash, is what it is. It's whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Okay? Now, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as we know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, soundly converted, strongly committed, how about singularly centered on the Lord? Singularly centered. And you say, well, where is all that? Well, we look here at verse 4, election of God, and in the Holy Ghost, but let's look at all of it together. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's see how centered they are. Verse 1, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, thanks to God. Verse 3, hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, election of God. Verse 5, in the Holy Ghost. We still okay?
Yes.
Verse 6, the joy of the Holy Ghost. All right, let's go on down. Let's see. Y'all see the point, don't you?
Yes.
Everything is centered around the Lord, the Jesus Christ. Verse 8, your faith to Godward. Verse 9, you turn to God to serve the living and true God. Verse 10, to wait for His Son. I want you to know all 10 verses are centered around Christ. Centered around God, centered around the Holy Spirit. And this church cannot be centered around the preacher. It cannot be centered around the youth choir. It can't be centered around youth camp. It can't be centered around special forces. It can't be centered around any certain person that does this or does that. But it can only be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the triune God, is who it is to be the center of the church. Everybody still with me? All right? So we're soundly converted, strongly committed, singularly centered, huh? Centered on God, the Word. Equal. This Word, He's the living Word. He's the written Word. It's the Bible. We got to be centered. We need to be centered around preaching the Word, teaching the Word.
Yeah.
Huh? Everybody with me? This is our example. To I've been down there and I've listened and I've seen the little classes taught. You know, I do thank God for the teachers here at this church. I do. They're not given a color page of Noah's Ark and a cookie and forgotten. But they're taught. They're taught about Christ and the cross and the empty tomb from the tiniest class. All the way up. Every class taught the Word of God. In Special Forces on Wednesday night. Do you know there's a curriculum for our Wednesday night? And we're getting ready to do some changes in that for to improve. But can I tell you, they're taught Bible doctrine, Bible stories. The littlest class. The littlest classes. All right? They're not just given a color and page. There's too many churches that's forgot the children and they're given a color and page. Let me tell you, people's mentality. I remember years ago that we'd have Bible school and every Thursday, I reckon, Thursday we give invitation, wasn't it, Carolyn? We give Carolyn used to leave my Bible school and had a family come and they say, listen, I got to take my daughter out because if y'all was going to give an invitation, I don't want them to be there. Now, I want them to go to Bible school and learn about Jesus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but Thursday they couldn't stay. Remember, Carolyn? You know who I'm talking about. They couldn't stay. And they come back Friday for class and the picnic, but they couldn't stay for invitation. Have you ever heard anything that dumb or not? Huh? Now, I'm not talking about the barroom crowd. I'm talking about church folk. I thank God for teachers that when they get down there, little Amos, where's Amos at? Where you at, buddy? Amos, come here. I'm going to talk about you, but we're buddies. He came here Wednesday night. Amos, hey, there's a lot of stories with Amos. Amos is a dandy. They come here Wednesday night and said, Amos needs to talk to you. So I sat down on the step and Amos sat here, quiet, nothing. Just quiet. Tears. His head hung. He'd look at me, look at me up, he'd raise his eyes and look at me. And I said, what do you need, honey? I said, don't be scared. You can talk to me. You don't need. Everything's okay. Nothing. Nothing. Finally he said, I just got saved. Oh, he was so happy. Oh, I thank God that they're taught. That they're taught. That they're not forgotten and thrown away. I thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I love it tonight. Huh? But it's got to be Christ-centered. We still okay? I'll give you a couple more real quick. Y'all hang with me now. All right, where are we at? We're down to verse 6, right? I'm just preaching what the Bible's saying, ain't I? So far, are we all right? How about verse 6? And ye became... Now look what he says about the church of the Thessalonians. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. It wasn't easy. Can I just go ahead and tell you, there's a good example here. When you go serve the Lord, it ain't easy. There's going to be some affliction. Going to be a little hardship. You're not going to be the most popular person in the world. Huh? It says, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They was afflicted and they were happy about it. What was they wasn't happy about their affliction. They was happy in the Lord. And afflictions was there, but they were still happy in the Lord. Can I tell you, I'm not tickled I had a heart attack. I'm not tickled I had a stroke. I'm not tickled I'm not 100%. All right? But I'm happy in the Lord. Now, if I had my druthers, I'd be 45 pounds lighter and have the energy I had when I was 20, and then I could pastor and do some things if I had my druthers. But that wouldn't be realistic, would it? The 40-pound lighter is going to be realistic right now. Okay? But it ain't got nothing to do with me not being happy in the Lord. We okay? And we go on. That ain't the alliterated word here. I'm all alliterated. Brother Rick, I'm alliterated tonight. I said, and he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Verse 7. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Ain't that a wonderful verse? So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So that we need not to speak anything. So we're soundly converted, strongly committed, singly centered, but how about spiritually contagious? They were spiritually contagious. It spread. They were examples. This church, do you know that this church is looked upon already for leadership in a lot of ways? Because of the voice of this church. Huh? And there's been things attacked us. And people have stood back and watched. Huh? They've watched about the issue over the Bible. They've watched. But I'm not standing because of that. I'm standing because it's right. Huh? But they've watched. They watched to see what we would do. See how we would react. Huh? God help us to be examples. Not just examples of anything, but spiritual examples. That we are examples when it comes to prayer and seeing prayers answered. That we're examples of preaching. You know what was said about us? If you don't want to get saved, don't go to Mountain State. Now, I said, wonderful. Wonderful. Huh? That's not a slam. That's a compliment. Huh? But oh, that we might be examples. You know that when we talk about Mountain State, it's you, don't you? Don't you know that? That it's you. That it's our kids. That when somebody sees you, then we ought to be what the Thessalonians, we ought to be that example. That they say, wow. Wow. Huh? Not that they might say, well, that church up there, they've got it all. No, that they can say, boy, God-centered in their life, ain't he? Huh? That we're an example. That's what the church of Thessalonica was. See, let's read it again, can we? We still okay? It says you became followers of us, imitators. The church of the Thessalonica there, them Thessalonians, they were just imitating Paul. Huh? Imitating Paul. But then it didn't stop there. They was following Paul as he was following Christ, so they was imitating Christ. Huh? We still okay? This is our example tonight. And in verse 8, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not from you sounded out the word of the Lord. From you, it was sounded out from you. Not just the preacher. But it was sounded out from you the word of the Lord. Huh? You. Sounding out from you, the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. We're talking about the Thessalonians in 2023.
That's right.
Huh? Almost 2,000 years since they was living it. Their faith and their example is still pushed forward.
Right. Yes.
And that ought to be the way it is for Mountain State Baptist Church. That when all of us sitting here, if the Lord tarries, when all of us are done dead and gone, that the testimony and the stand and the spirituality of this church is still spreading of the generations to come. That we become spiritually contagious. Can I tell you what's contagious in a church? Murmuring, complaining, gossip. Huh? That's contagious. Criticism. It's contagious. It is. It's contagious. It'll spread like wildfire. Huh? Unsatisfaction. Huh? Remember Psalms 119, 165? Huh? Can I tell you what was going on here in verses 6 through 8? They were giving out what they were getting in. What was coming inside of them, they were giving out. Huh? What's in you to give out tonight? Huh? We still okay? Verse 9. I'll give you one more here. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They were supremely changed. Huh? Supremely changed. They were a repentant church. They were a repentant church. Huh? If we didn't have but 10 people in here again, as long as we was repentant, walking right, that would be okay. We need to have a repentant attitude that we turn and are willing to be changed. I'm still willing to be changed. If I want God to work on me. I don't want to stay the same. I want to grow. You know that growing in grace, if you're truly saved, is not an option, don't you? If you're truly saved, you will grow in grace and knowledge. And if you're not growing in grace and knowledge, you probably need born again.
Amen.
We okay? You listening? Huh? Because that's when you get saved, that's what happens. Huh? A new birth, you're born again. Alright? And then let's look at verse 10. I'll quit tonight. It says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They were steadfastly content. Huh? They waited for Jesus, whom was raised from. They just waited on him to come. They didn't quit. They didn't quit serving. They didn't quit working. They didn't quit praying. They didn't quit witnessing. They didn't quit nothing. They kept on. They kept on. And they were steadfast. They were faithful as they waited for Jesus Christ to come. I see these many examples in the church of Thessalonica. They were soundly converted, strongly committed, singularly centered, spiritually contagious, supremely changed, and steadfastly content. Huh? I believe that's the standard for the church. Huh? But it can only be that for Mountain State if you and me are willing to meet this criteria. Now let me ask you tonight. I'm willing to work on meeting this criteria as your pastor. Are you willing to work on this same criteria? That we be soundly converted, strongly committed, singularly centered, spiritually contagious, supremely changed, and steadfastly content? Are you willing to do that tonight? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? It's not a time to go home and chew on it. If you got to chew on any of these things, maybe we ought to examine ourselves and see whether or not we'd be in the faith. Because this is an example of a New Testament. What did Boyd and Bob say when they had their little Laurel Hardy thing here the other Wednesday? What did they say? They wanted a first century New Testament church. Right? Huh? Y'all hear me? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I want myself, my own desire is to be pleasing to the Lord. Now, if I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord and you're going to be pleasing to the Lord, everybody ain't going to like it. The community ain't going to like it. There's going to be some other churches that don't like it. You know, can you believe this? Can you believe that there's churches, that there's church bodies waiting for us to fold? Ain't that ridiculous? Do you know that I have preacher friends that are waiting for me to mess up? They are. Are you listening to me? Everybody ain't going to be pleased. But I would rather him. I would rather him be pleased. And us have a church and say, well, Lord, we've tried to go by the example. They followed Paul and followed you and were spiritually contagious. Oh, man, I'd love to be spiritually contagious and spread what Jesus has got in my heart. Father, I've tried my best to give to you tonight, to give to these people what you've given me. And Father, help us tonight. God, I'm far from what I ought to be. And Lord, I want to do more. Lord, I want to do better. I want to please you. But I pray tonight that the membership of Mountain State Baptist Church, the people that attend Mountain State Baptist Church, will get under the load, labor together. And Lord, we'll be less critical, we'll be less murmuring, we'll be less dissatisfied if we're all working together, with we're all working together. Lord, I pray that you'd help us be the example. Lord, our children need it. We got kids that's coming on, these babies that's being born. They're going to have a place. And Lord, help us to strengthen the things that remain. Help us to be a light in this community, this county, this state. Lord, you've put us in the center of the state for some reason. Lord, it's like 30 miles, 35 miles, like being in the dead center of the state. Help us to be the light that we need to be. In Jesus' name.